Hello, friends. Denny Pruto here with a lesson from the Westminster Shorter Catechism. This time, we're looking at questions and answers 8 and 9. Question 8 reads, How doth God execute His decrees? Answer, God executeth His decrees in the works of creation and providence. In other words, God has a plan, and God's plan is... Hello, friends. Denny Pruto here with a lesson from the Westminster Shorter Catechism. This time, we're looking briefly at questions and answers 7. Hello, friends. Denny Pruto here with a lesson from Westminster Shorter Catechism, questions and answers 8 and 9. Question 8 reads as follows, How doth God execute His decrees? The previous question and answer discussed the decrees of God. In other words, God has a plan. And how is it that God works out His plan? He does so as follows, God executeth His decrees in the works of creation and providence. In other words, there are two paths down which God travels to carry out His plan. First of all, He brings about this created order. And then secondly, He superintends and guides the creation which He has already made. And so, a question and answer number 8. How doth God execute His decrees? God executeth His decrees in the works of creation and providence. The proof texts are as follows. Revelation chapter 4 and verse 11. Thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created. More literally, Revelation 4:11 would read, You have created all things, and because of your will they are and were created. You see, everything goes back to the decrees of God, God's plan, and God's purpose for this world and for this universe. And then there is God's carrying out His works of providence, and we'll cover that in question and answer 11. But for now, let's just stick with the idea of creation. Question 9 asks, What is the work of creation? Answer, The work of creation is God making all things of nothing by the word of His power in the space of 6 days, and all very good. Let me give you a couple of the proof texts from the New American Standard Version. Genesis 1:1, In the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. And then verse 2 goes on to say, The earth was formless and void, and darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was moving over the surface of the waters. There are some who believe that there is a gap between verses 1 and 2 in Genesis 1. But Genesis 1:1 is actually a summary statement. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. In other words, God created all that we see in this universe, from that which we see under the rocks that are on the earth to that which we see in the heavens which are around us and above us, as far as we can see through the strongest telescopes. God created everything in the heavens and the earth. And we would guess, would we not, that this would include all of the spiritual beings, the angels, and those angels that subsequently fell away from God and away from God's purposes are included in this statement in Genesis 1:1. And then Genesis chapter 1, verse 2 narrows the scope of thought. Understand that this is the case. Genesis 1:2 narrows the scope of thought down to the world itself and the earth. You see, now the focus of things becomes this planet Earth. And the earth was formless and void, and darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was moving over the surface of the waters. God's desire was to form a planet that was habitable for his creatures. And so verse 1 has the entire universe in mind, and verse 2 comes down and narrows the focus to the earth itself. And now God, after having created all of the universe, concentrates in Genesis 1 on this world in which we live. And so the remainder of the chapter. And then in Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 3, we have another one of the texts used as a proof text by the Westminster Divines. By faith we understand that the worlds were prepared by the Word of God, so that what is seen was not made out of things which are visible. Listen again to the Catechism. The work of creation is God making all things of nothing by the word of his power. The little phrase, all things of nothing, all things of nothing, means that God did not make this created order out of pre-existent matter, that there was not some form of matter that already existed out of which God formed this created order and subsequently formed the world. No, this is not the case. Listen again to Hebrews 11:3. By faith we understand that the worlds were prepared by the Word of God, that this created world came out of God, who existed before all things, and God spoke this world into existence. When you go back to Genesis chapter 1, verse 3 says, then God said, let there be light, and there was light. Well, Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 3 adds to the idea here that in the beginning God spoke and brought this created order into being, and then began to operate more specifically on the earth itself. Now there's another thing that emerges as we look at the catechism. The work of creation is God making all things of nothing, that is, by the word of his power. God did not create things, I repeat again, out of some pre-existent matter, by the word of his power in the space of 6 days. In the space of 6 days. Well, as you read Genesis 1, Genesis chapter 1 and verse 5 says, God called the light day, and the darkness he called night, and there was evening and there was morning, one day. In context, the idea of one day means one 24-hour day. And when you get down to the sixth day, it's the same. It was the 24-hour day. This is the common understanding of the Hebrew word for day. And then the commandment, the fourth commandment, I would remind you, says that you are not to work on the seventh day. That the seventh day is reserved for worship and for a study of the Word of God. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Yes, this was part of the first week, the Sabbath day. And the Sabbath day is a 24-hour day. And so we understand that each of these days of creation were 24-hour days. But there is an argument against this. In chapter 2 and verse 4 of Genesis, it says, "This is the account of the heavens and the earth when they were created, in the day that the Lord made earth and heaven." In other words, in Genesis chapter 2 and verse 4, the word day is used in a little bit different way. It's used to encompass the whole week of creation, to refer to the whole week of creation. In the day that the Lord made the heavens and the earth. That is, in the time that the Lord made the heavens and the earth. But in Genesis 1, be reminded of the fact that the word day, the Hebrew word day, is most commonly understood to refer to a 24-hour day. Now, let me give you one other thing here as we're talking about creation. A while back, I was reading in Calvin's sermons on Genesis, and early on in his sermons on Genesis, Calvin makes this statement with regard to creation. He says, "Now, in the first place, if men wish to cling to their knowledge and judgment, it will be incredible to them that the world was created 6,000 years ago." What? 6,000 years ago? It seems that Calvin was a proponent of what we would now call the young earth position, taking a position counter to evolution and the world being tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands, and even millions of years old. Just west of Cincinnati, there is what we know as the Creation Museum. And it was established to argue for a worldwide flood in the time of Noah, and to argue for the proposition that the world is not millions of years old, as is said by the evolutionists. And it's very striking as you go through the Creation Museum and see the arguments with regard to the idea of a young earth. And then you can come back to Pittsburgh and go through the Carnegie Museum of Natural History. And you see the dinosaurs and the brontosaurs, and you see the presuppositions behind the displays of the Natural History Museum. It is the presupposition of evolution. And everything is viewed and looked at on the foundation of evolution rather than on the foundation of creation. We as Christians stand on the foundation of creation. You and I may not stand on the foundation of a young earth, but we do stand on the foundation of creation. And I myself am a proponent of the young earth. I do believe that the earth, having been created by God, by the word of his power in the space of 6 24-hour days, is relatively young rather than being millions of years old. Now, let me give you what I see as another interesting facet of the Genesis narratives. In Genesis chapter 5, there is a genealogy. And Genesis 5 begins like this. This is the book of the generations of Adam. In the day when God created man, he made him in the likeness of God. He created them male and female, and he blessed them and named them man in the day when they were created. Now the word day here is used the way it's used in Genesis 1, as a 24-hour day. It's the day in which God created Adam and Eve. Then in chapter 5, verse 3, Moses begins a genealogy. When Adam had lived 130 years, he became the father of a son in his own likeness, according to his image, and named him Seth. Then the days of Adam, after he became the father of Seth, were 800 years, and he had other sons and daughters. So all the days that Adam lived were 930 years, and then he died. Each individual in the genealogy is mentioned in the same way, that as Adam lived so many years and begat Seth, and he lived so many years after Seth, and then he died, and the total length of his life was so much. And in this case, 930 years. Well, you can figure out the length of time that has elapsed when you look at the number of years each individual in the genealogy has lived. And the genealogy takes us from Adam through Lamech. Listen to verse 28. Lamech lived 182 years and became the father of a son. Now he called the name his name Noah. This one will give us rest from the work and from the toil of our hands arising from the ground which the Lord had cursed. And Lamech lived 595 years after he became the father of Noah, and he had other sons and daughters. And so all the days of Lamech were 777 years. And so Lamech, the genealogy brings us up to Lamech, and then Lamech had this son who was called Noah. Well, if you figure up the number of years in the genealogy as to how long each individual in the genealogy lived, you will see that Noah, or I should say Adam, was still alive when Lamech was 35, 40, 50 years old. Imagine this. When Lamech was a relatively young man, Adam was still alive, if this genealogy is accurate. So that Adam could have told Lamech the stories about what took place in the Garden of Eden, what took place when Satan came into the garden and deceived Eve and they ate of the forbidden fruit, what took place in the garden when God ejected them from the garden and life began outside of the garden. Adam could have told Lamech the stories concerning life in the garden and outside of the garden. And Lamech then could have told these first-hand stories to his son Noah. In other words, when the flood came, as far as the generations are concerned, Noah was not that far from the creation of the heavens and the earth and the creation of the world. Why do individuals believe in evolution? Individuals believe in evolution because that throws back the beginning of the world, millions of years. And there are those who believe in the subject of theistic evolution, that God used the process of evolution to bring about the creation of the world as we know it today. But if that's the case, God is quite distant from us as far as chronology is concerned, as far as time is concerned. But if God created the heavens and the earth thousands of years ago, rather than tens of thousands of years ago, or millions of years ago, this brings the creation of the world quite close to you and me, and it brings God Himself quite close to you and me. And I think that one of the reasons men and women reject the idea of the young earth is that it brings God too close to us. It brings the reality of what the Bible has to say too close to us. Again, what is the work of creation? The work of creation is God making all things of nothing by the word of His power in the space of 6 days, and all very good. Genesis 1:31. And God saw everything that He had made, and behold, it was very good. And evening and morning were the sixth day. And then God rested, and God sanctified the Sabbath. And that's why we keep one day in seven as a remembrance of what God did in creation, and then subsequently what God did in recreation. God created all things of nothing by the word of His power in the space of 6 days, and all very good. Think about it, friends. Think about what God has done. And when you go out and look at the heavens, and look at the mountains, and observe the rivers and the seas, and you look at the flowers and the trees, sit and contemplate what God has done. Sit in the created order as a great theater in which you may observe what God in His grace and goodness has done, and how He has placed the likes of you and me in this world, which He fashioned and made very good. And you will realize that God is not far away, as some would suppose. No, God is not far away. He is quite close. And since this is the case, we ought to worship Him. You and I ought to worship Him and give Him glory and exalt Him because of the created order in which He has placed us and which He has made. Thanks for listening.